Disclaimer, I am a counseling student, I am not a mental health professional, and I cannot give or offer mental health services. Okay, hello, Hannah.
Hello.
I am sitting with Hannah. She is actually, I met her as my coworker as a graduate assistant.
General studies.
General studies. And I will be here until my last semester. So I'm just going to, you know, hold down the fort for her while she leaves because she is graduating.
I am on Saturday.
He's so excited.
I'm so excited.
It's been a long time coming.
It has been 3 whole years. 2 of those in a pandemic.
Two in the pandemic.
Yes.
What was that like? We haven't even introduced you, but.
Oh my gosh. It was, oh my goodness. I feel like I don't even have words for it. It was like some parts of it were good because I got so much telehealth experience. You know, like
true.
We were the first ones to do Zoom. So I was literally like, we went to group class on like a Tuesday. And the next week we just were not back. We were on Zoom. And then we were on Zoom for like a year or so before we actually went back in person. So that was a huge adjustment. But I'm so thankful though that I was in the counseling program for this huge shift because, I mean, it gave us a lot of time to process. Like, it was, I don't know, I feel like it was a good place to be for the pandemic.
So you only got really a year for, that's crazy. I don't know how, I wasn't in school at all during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So I started summer last year in this program.
So we got like a year, 2 semesters, I believe it was. My memory's kind of foggy, but 2 semesters, and then we had the pandemic, and then we just got back to in person like a year ago. Like it was kind of hybrid, you know, it was like hybrid and then back to full in person. And when we finally got back to in person, even with the masks on, it was just like you could feel the energy. Everyone was so happy to be back. And it was like, wow, we missed this. And like, oh my gosh, I could talk about, you know, that and just how important, like just even feeling that human connection. We're like, oh my God, we've been really missing out on this for so long.
Where I am in the program, I can't imagine like doing group in Zoom.
Yeah.
Did you have to do group?
I did. I had to lead a group on Zoom.
That must have been so weird. Because, like, when you're talking in person, you can have multiple conversations at once, but you can't do that when you're in Zoom unless you're, broken out into those rooms.
Those breakout rooms. And we, like, we're not Zoom knowledgeable yet. Everyone's new. So people are, like, pressing buttons and, like, raising their hands. And we're like, okay, this person speak. And people try to speak at one time. And, yeah, it was a mess. But we made it.
Well, you know what? That's actually, like you said, really good experience for you.
Yeah.
Because teletherapy is now,
it's a huge thing.
Huge
thing.
So
yeah, all part of the process.
All part of it. I have the hybrid courses and I've had Zoom classes, but those are the most quiet and non-interactive.
Oh, it's different. No, it's definitely a different experience than like being in person.
No one wants to talk when over Zoom, I feel like, as much as in person. Yeah.
I've had that conversation with my classmates too, and it's like, why is it so weird on Zoom? And I think it's because when you're in a classroom setting, people are all like looking towards the teacher. You're all like kind of in like a natural like form, you know? But on Zoom, you have like 15 faces staring at you. So it feels like you're in front of the room. When you unmute yourself and say something and you know everyone's just staring at you. And I just get, like, that panic. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Anxiety.
It's true. Because when you're in a room, like, people still face the front or, like, they're not.
Yeah.
Imagine the whole room just, like.
Just staring
at you. Like, turning their chairs and staring directly at you.
Directly at you.
That, I guess, is, like, the comparable.
It's weird. It feels unnatural. But, I mean, as time went on, we got more comfortable with it. So, I mean, it's a great experience for teletherapy.
Yeah.
So, I'm glad that I at least got that, and yeah.
Wow. Okay, well, so Hannah Daniel, we we started on a little COVID tangent. I'm sure everyone's used to that by now.
Yes.
But, so today we're going to be talking about, I mean, Hannah's experience within the counseling program, and you know, I mean, maybe give me some pointers because I'm,
oh my gosh,
yeah, almost halfway through. And that way, anyone who's ever interested or looking into wanting to go get their degree in counseling and their master's in counseling can get some tips and
yes,
get some inside scoop of the experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope you guys are ready. Let's get started. Okay, so Hannah, I have a few questions for you that I thought that as someone who hasn't graduated yet,
mm-hmm.
would like to know,
mm-hmm.
to someone who is graduating Saturday in what? Today's Wednesday.
Today's
4 days?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I can't do
four
math.
Days.
3 days.
3 days.
I'm going to leave
That's
that in there.
In the counseling program, not in like a math.
No, not in a math program for a good reason. Okay. So tell us about yourself and what made you choose this line of work.
Okay. So like Sam said, my name's Hannah. I'm about to graduate from the counseling program. I feel like that's kind of like the most defining feature in my life right now. You know, when they say, tell me about yourself. I'm 25, for those that care about that. And I chose counseling. So I'll back up. My undergrad's actually in finance.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, that's always, like...
like, how'd you jump? Where'd you get here?
Literally, people always say the same thing. So, it is actually through counseling, like, being a client,
mm-hmm.
that I discovered that finance was not for me.
Yeah.
And
it's not for many.
No. So, like, so many people, you know, have that experience in college of, like, that existential, what do I want to do with my life? Who am I? What's my purpose here? And of course, I had that same thing happen. And so I went to counseling, and I'm really thankful that I had family that was supportive and I was able to, you know, like seek those services as a college student, and had a really good therapist. And she kind of helped me see like, this might not be exactly what, you know, I'm meant to do. And
yeah.
So like that whole concept of congruence, Carl Rogers type deal, I was not congruent with where I was in my life. And I had a lot of anxiety and mm-hmm. that kind of stuff going on because of that. And so I was going through the counseling process, I was like, hold on, this is kind of cool. I like what she does. Mm-hmm. Like, I like the setting. You get to sit and talk to people all day, and I just think it's so interesting. And so I started kind of digging into the master's programs that were available, mm-hmm. and like thinking after I got past that initial hurdle of like, is this even something I can do with a finance degree? Like, that's a big jump.
Yeah, that's what I was worried about, because my degree is in business management.
Yeah, it's a huge jump. And at that time, it feels so like not like it feels like it doesn't make sense. Like, it feels like you're going against the flow or whatever. Yeah. But then I just added a few psych classes, like a psych minor, and I applied to the program. And then once I got here for interview day and everything, I found out they don't really care that much, like, what your background is.
No.
They're people from all different walks of life. I mean, like, older people, younger people, people with business background, like, any background you can imagine.
Yeah.
They don't care about any of that. And I thought I was just going to be like some odd one out, but
I did too.
Not at all. Yeah. You felt like that too?
I did. I was like, these people are going to be like, what made you think you're going to come get a counseling degree with a business undergrad degree?
Imposter syndrome.
don't worry. That's a future episode.
Yeah, but it's real. And I think everyone kind of had that to some degree. Like, I'm sure everyone that came here probably found some sort of like, oh, I don't know that I'm super qualified for that. Mm-hmm. And like, that's okay. That's all a part of the, you know, the process. And they made sure to address that.
Yeah. And I know a lot of the, like our older classmates there, we have classmates that are in their 40s, 50s, maybe even 60s.
Yeah.
And I know they have imposter syndrome a lot.
Sure.
Because they're like, how am I competing with these younger people who are just getting out of college? But I mean, everyone from every age is here, so don't be scared to think that you're in your 40s and you want a change of scenery and change of job.
And every person, like even the ones, like you mentioned, the older adults, they have their own valuable experience. You know, as a young, I'm 25, I don't have kids, anything like that. So when I work with like children and parents, I have that like, oh my gosh, like I don't have kids of my own. But those people that are in my classes, I mean, they have that valuable experience and they can kind of share that.
That's true.
So it's been really cool to see how everybody's really unique life experiences have been able to kind of, they've been able to share it with all of us. Mm-hmm. And it just makes the program so great because it's rich, you know, with all these different experiences.
It's so true. There's multiple tracks here and we're going to talk about that in a second too.
Right.
Literally, even if it's not counseling that you're thinking to go back to school for, if it's something that you want to go back to school for and change your job and you're just like, I just feel like I'm too old to go back to school, there are people who come to general studies in their 70s and they do not stop. They have multiple degrees. Do not let that stop you.
It's never too late.
It is never too late.
It is never too late to try something. And you know what? If it's not for you, you can always switch. We had multiple classmates that started and then they're like, this isn't really for me. And they went and found something that was.
Yeah.
So.
Which is always sad because
I know
you grow attached to your classmates, especially in this program.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
You absolutely do. Yeah. So.
Bonding experience here.
Oh yeah.
So we were just about to talk about it. So what are the options for the tracks within the counseling program and which one did you choose to specialize in?
Yes. Okay. So the tracks are clinical mental health counseling, which is mine. There's also a marriage and family track, and then there is a school counseling track.
Yep.
And so you kind of can choose, you choose those at the beginning, you know, like when you start the program, but I believe that all three tracks take the same like core classes. So we're like, you know, KCREP accredited. I think that like all the marriage or all the tracks take like those core classes, I believe. And I think once you get to the like practicum and internship, you kind of split off and like the school counselors will do clinical experience at like a school and marriage and family would do, you know, kids and families. And then they take some additional special classes. But yeah, mine is clinical because I just felt like it was, I didn't want to work in a school.
Yeah, I mean,
it wasn't my thing. And then I didn't really want to specialize in, couples and, or family work, like only. Clinical was just like the most broad for me. And yeah, I stuck with it. So
isn't it the school counseling can, you can graduate with that and then become a mental health counselor if you want to.
I believe so, but I think
you can't do the opposite.
Yeah, it doesn't go the other way.
Right.
So you can't like graduate in clinical and then become a school counselor.
Yeah, you have to go back and take those courses. But I also think that applies to mental health, to marriage and family. So you can take couples as a mental health counselor.
You just wouldn't be like an LMFT.
Right.
You know, licensed marriage and family therapist,
yes,
I believe.
Yes, yes.
I'm hesitant to say all this. I'm like, am I correct? On my, I haven't graduated yet.
We're all like, do we know what we're talking about?
Yeah. I always like to like double check before I say anything like that. Like, there's so many rules, you know, that's part of it. And that's something we could talk about too. Like the application process and like all of the, like, it's not just,
well, let's talk about that. What does it take to get here? You know, you got to have an undergrad degree and then you got to have your master's in counseling. And then what's next?
Yes. Okay. So where I am right now, I'm at the point of like, I'm graduating from the program and contrary to what you might think, contrary to what I thought when I was starting, you don't just magically become a therapist. It takes a lot of additional stuff before you're fully independently licensed. So right now, after I officially graduate on May 14th, yay, my transcripts will be sent to the LPC board, like the Louisiana Counseling Board. They do all the certification, all the licensing stuff. So my transcripts will be sent and I'm in the process of doing like my application. which is like this whole just like you would think of any application, yeah. You know, a lot of information, all that kind of stuff, has like my declaration statement.
Oh yeah.
My supervisor's information. It's this whole, oh, I also had to get fingerprinted. So background check, there's like a full application process. Once my application is approved, which will probably be in like the next couple of weeks, mm-hmm. then I can start, then I'm considered a PLPC. Provisionally licensed professional counselor.
And that is different in all in states.
Yes.
Which we'll get to that after too, because it might not be PLPC in some states.
Right.
I think it's LPCC in some states.
It's something different. Yeah. Yeah, it is. But I'll be a PLPC. So fun fact, PLPCs are different from LPCs in the sense that you're under supervision, mm-hmm. and you can't accept insurance. Did you know that?
Cannot.
You cannot.
I guess, can you diagnose as a PLPC?
I think you can. I think you can, but you can't, like, you're limited in some senses as to, like, what you can do.
I bet they just don't want to insure non-licensed counselors.
Non-fully licensed, yeah. So, like, I'm working in a private practice after I graduate, and that's, like, something, you know, we had to talk about. It's, like, you can't accept insurance, but you can't accept self-pay. Most of the time, the self-pay rate is a little bit lower because you're not fully licensed. Mm-hmm. So that's something I thought about, like, wow, if anyone ever needs like a therapist, but you're looking for like a lower cost option, I wonder if like looking for PLPCs would be a good.
That's a really great suggestion that I could have put into any of the videos earlier.
It just came to me. I just always see posts of people. Like I saw a post the other day in like a local Facebook group, and it was a girl that was a PLPC looking for clients, and she was like, you know, she offers a reduced rate. It was like $30-something a session.
Wow.
And I was like, wow.
Okay, so think of it this way, people. You know how people are in cosmetology school and they need like little, what do you call it? People to test run their haircuts and stuff on, and you get either a reduced rate or it for free.
Yeah.
This is a really good option.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
And that kind of goes for the PLPCs that are in private practice. Like the ones in agencies, it may be different.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just saw that post the other day and thought, wow, that is really cool for people who like, because that's a big struggle.
Yeah.
A big barrier for people is that it's expensive.
Yeah, and sometimes it's hard to find which person will take your insurance.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so that she was, you know, self-pay only, reduced rate, because she can't take insurance as a PLPC. But I forget where I was a second ago. I think I was talking about
what it takes to become a licensed.
Yes, yes, yes. And so after my PLPC license is approved, I will start working as a therapist, as a PLPC. But I'm working towards licensure, working towards my full LPC license. So I'm accruing hours, like every client hour, every client I see, it's like a client hour, mm-hmm. you know, and you have to get a certain number of hours. And I feel so dumb right now that I don't know the exact
3,000.
There's been so many numbers like floating around in my head, but you have 3,000 hours, which I think like the soonest you can do that is 2 years.
Yeah. So and like so many of those need to be supervised hours.
Every 20 client hours.
There we go.
You have to have 1 hour of supervision.
Okay. And whatever person wants to do that math, I am not doing it.
No, me either. I'm not either. And I got really fortunate. The job that I got, my LPCS, my supervisor, is like my job supervisor as well. And so I get free supervision.
Amazing. Which some people do not get. You have to pay for your supervision. And think of it this way. Okay, if I'm going to do the math, let's see.
I did the math before. It comes out to like thousands.
Yeah. Of dollars for dollars. That? Yeah, because it could be about $100 just for 1 hour of supervision.
Yeah.
So
it's expensive.
Yeah.
It is. The other consideration, though, is, like, you do have to think about, you know, do you want your supervisor to be on site? You know, do you want to have an outside supervisor in case you do have, like, some workplace difficulties? And so I kind of thought all about that, but I really liked mine, and so I went with it. But that is something that they tell you to consider, like, you know, the benefits of having an outside supervisor that you pay for.
And yeah, you get to seek you which supervisor you know that what qualifications they have. Like, if, especially if they're going out, they know, like, you know that they've been doing this for a while.
Yeah.
Inside, they might have it's going to be hard to go to a supervisor and say, hey, I'm having this difficulty in the clinic. Oh, wait,
you're also my boss. Yeah. The whole process is so weird to me because it's like you pick your own supervisor, right? Like, you pick who you want. And in some ways, to me, it's like finding a therapist. You know, like, you have to pick someone that's a good fit. You pick someone who kind of is going to guide you in a direction that, like, if you're super, like, person-centered, non-directive, you don't want to pick a therapist or a supervisor who's, like, very strict CBT.
Yeah.
You know? And so, like, you're picking someone who's a good fit. You're meeting with them however much, like, once a week or something like that. And they kind of guide you. It's a different than, like, counseling. It's supervision. But still, it's, like, it's just an interesting process.
And CBT versus person-centered, I know I've been saying I'm going to get a theories episode out there for, like, I don't know, the past 15 or so episodes. But the difference between those is that CBT is very by the books. Got lots of worksheets. We were just talking about that the other day. Yeah. It's behavioral, whereas person or client-centered is very the client is the expert of their own life. And yeah, so it's much different approaches. And if you go to someone who's more CBT based, they are definitely not going to agree with your person-centered techniques.
It's different, but I do want to add to this. There was an interesting podcast episode I listened to recently.
Okay.
Am I allowed to shout out other podcasts?
Of course. This is I have like 60 listeners maybe.
So it's Very Bad Therapy.
Okay.
And it's these two graduate students. Shoot, I guess kind of like us. Like, it's these two graduates. I think they actually might be like PhD students. I don't know, but they're really smart, and they were talking. They bring like people on. They bring guests and talk about their therapy experiences.
Oh, awesome!
And this woman came on and she was talking about her experience with a CBT therapist. And then they brought on an actual like therapist that is CBT like orientation, and she kind of like debunked like this is what this therapist said that actually like just wasn't that great, and then this is what she could have done, and it kind of gave me like a little bit new perspective on CBT. I was like, huh, awesome. Okay,
I'll have to listen to that.
Yeah
because what I learn here, I feel like every time I hear anything about CBT, it's either one extreme or the other. Either CBT is amazing, it can be used anywhere for anyone, or it's like you got to be careful with CBT because it's not going to work for certain people. It could make people's, like, for people coming in with trauma, it could make it worse for them. Like, so, I mean, I guess which you could have both sides.
Sure. I think there definitely is a middle ground. Because I know a lot of therapists, like, use techniques.
From CBT.
You use a lot of CBT techniques. Yeah. I know there's definitely got to be a middle ground. And that's something I want to learn more about. Like, talk to someone integrate. Who's an, who's, like, an expert in that. Because I feel like I'm like you. I've heard, like, different sides from different people. So
how long did it we didn't even finish one thing I wanted to mention was that each state is different in what it requires to become a licensed therapist. So after your 3,000 hours in Louisiana, you can officially apply for your license and become an LPC. But outside of Louisiana, you have Virginia, which I think is what, 4,000 supervision hours.
Maybe so,
There's other states that have 3,500, some that have 2,500, and some that you need to take an additional ethics course. So it really depends on the state. So let's say that we're licensed in Louisiana, which, you know, Hannah's about to be provisionally licensed. And if she were to be licensed here after her 3,000 hours, she would have to reapply if she were to move to a different state. So whatever state she decided to move to, she would have to see what can transfer over, what she'd have to do to get licensed within that state. It's not simply, let me jump state to state and I'm licensed everywhere.
Yeah, you definitely have to like apply to their board and all kind of stuff. And then it's something else I didn't mention either was you have to take the NCE.
Yeah.
Thankfully, because I did. Thankfully, because we're KCREP accredited, mm-hmm. it's something that they offer. Like, we can take the NCE as a student and mm-hmm. go ahead and like apply for the NCC certification, nationally certified mm-hmm. counselor, as a student, and get that whole process going.
Yeah.
But that is something that, you know, you have to do during your provisionally licensed time. And pass that.
Yeah. It's easier to do it right once you finish school, because you have all that information fresh in your head.
You know, and you just took comps.
Yeah.
So, like, the CPCE, there's so many acronyms.
I know. It's fresh. We live in an acronym world here.
Yeah, we do. We absolutely do.
But also, I hear, tell me if I'm wrong, there are some counselors that are trying to get it to where we can easily go state to state.
Reciprocity.
Right. Mm-hmm. But what the issue is, they're having trouble finding which state has the best.
Oh, maybe. See, I haven't followed a lot of that stuff. I should. I don't know. I should. But yeah, I know that that is something that they're trying to do, which would be amazing.
Yeah. Why not?
It would be amazing.
Yeah.
Because there's all these issues like across state lines. Mm-hmm. And I think that became with teletherapy. You know, when you have clients in different locations, what are the rules? And there's all kind of things for that.
Yeah. Well, so just a little inside scoop of what it takes to get your license. And I know it sounds like a hell of a lot.
It's really not that bad.
Yeah. You just kind of ride with it. And honestly, like, I'm enjoying the journey of grad school.
Yes.
And you're getting the next steps within, which everyone like is so excited for it. But it's still important to just kind of remain present to where you are enjoying the journey now, because I'm already a year in and it feels like I've only been here for a semester.
Absolutely. It flies by.
It's bizarre.
My classmates and I, we all went to La Coretta after our last class, or a few of us did. And we were all talking about, like, doesn't it feel like we just left our first theories class?
So
like, how are we here, like, talking about applying for PLPC? It went so quickly.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so weird. But, like, y'all are going out together, which is so special, too.
I know. And that's what you mentioned, like, the whole application process and all that. Like, it's confusing and it's a lot. But, like, I feel like having the people in my class, like, we all have just a group meeting. It's like, what do you do for this? What do you do for that? Like, that helps so much.
Yeah.
Having that support. And the professors, too. They give you so much guidance of, like.
I've never had such supportive professors in my lifetime.
Oh, yeah. No. I came from a big state schools.
Yeah, so both LSU grads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can barely remember any of my professors I had there, so
I don't remember one name. Actually, like, I actually do not remember one person's name. That speaks more on me, I think.
I think that says a lot about me, but, you know.
I definitely went to all of my classes anyway.
Yeah. Most of them.
So you already talked about how long it took to complete the graduate program. 3 years for you.
3 years,
so
yeah.
It'll be 2.5, I think, for me, because I'm rushing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which I am doing because I am my own worst enemy sometimes anyway. What were your favorite courses during this experience and why?
Ooh, oh my gosh. Okay. Well, I have to say, oh my God, there's so many. All of them were great. The one that really sticks out in my mind is like that first techniques class where you're very much like a new, have no idea what's going on, no idea what being a therapist really means. And for most people, and you're kind of just shown, like, I had Dr. Lehman and Dr. Williams, and
you had both?
Yes. So they actually combined two sections to where it was amazing. And they were able to kind of lead, like, show us by, like, example, I guess, how, mm-hmm. like, just the simple skills, like reflection of feeling, reflection of meaning, summarizing, all that stuff, like the very basic skills, and show us how just using those basic skills and like being present with another person can be so impactful. And that was just so mind-blowing for me, because we would split off into groups and do our own little, like,
your one-on-ones.
Yeah, we would practice. And just kind of being present and being in that moment with my classmate slash fake client was, I was like, wow, this actually kind of works. Like, it's this is so cool. Yeah. And what made that extra special for me, so, like, you know, we all kind of went through it together, right? And then in my second or third year, it was in my first internship class, I got to go back to one of the first techniques classes, like, go and help Dr. Lehman kind of, like, work with his techniques class, because we all needed more direct hours. Yeah. And so he was like, we'll come help with techniques. And so that was just, oh my God, that was amazing, because I got to see these people who were in
where you were,
where I was, yeah, a year or two ago, and see that whole process kind of unfold. And all of us, a bunch of us went together in my class, and we had all been, you know, through the techniques process together. And all of us are just like, wow, we have come so far.
Yeah.
Like, seeing where these students were, like, in that beginning growth process to where we are now, and we could give them feedback and give them tips of how to improve. It was really, really cool. Like, I'm not ever going to forget that.
Yeah.
Getting to see those new counselors and give them feedback. I was like, oh my gosh.
That's so special. That's how I feel like the teachers, what they get to experience here, all of our professors.
Oh my God. It makes me want to be a counselor teacher.
Honestly, being in group and talking to Dr. Austin about his experience of how first day of classes versus how it ends, and just being in that group counseling class.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, just noticing the difference there is crazy.
It is. It is. And it's, I had that conversation with, so I did my second internship at an inpatient psych facility, and my supervisor, I was talking about, like, how my group went, and I was really struggling because the people that I worked with, they were not really interested in my groups at all. And I was really struggling.
No.
And I was like, I really, like, it's not like group class. Like, I did this in my group. And she was like, Hannah, think about, like, the population, like, in your group counseling class, these are all counseling students versus inpatient, you know, they different.
Yeah.
Different population here. And I was like, but I love my group classes.
Yeah. And why isn't it the same?
I want to do that every day. Yeah. Everyone's so motivated and so open and, like, wants to do this, and they want to be there. And then, you know, working with population who doesn't want to be there was completely different experience. So,
yeah. Yeah. Having people that don't want to open up, you're just like, why?
Why? Like, don't you love this? And
just wait till you see how beneficial it is.
Yeah. Coming from, like, everyone's so, like, pumped about it, and they're like, wow, I love therapy. I love counseling. It's so cool. And then you go, you're, like, thrown into this place where, like, everyone just thinks it's so dumb.
Yeah. And they're like, do we get points for being?
Yeah. When a girl asked me, she's like, do we get, like, our points for being here? Make sure you write my name down. I was like, points? You don't want to just be in my group?
Like, you get no points now, Linda. Yeah.
It's funny, after saying, like, you know, you don't have to come to this group if you don't want to come. And then a few people, like, inevitably, like, get up and leave. Yeah.
That is so disheartening.
Yeah, but it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay, because that was, like, a lesson you had to learn. Yeah. It's like, you can't make your clients, mm-hmm, you know, want to be there. You can't make them have motivation, and that's okay. Like, the resistance and stuff, they're just not open.
It's natural.
At that point, yeah.
I mean, there's a point in our lives that we were just as closed off.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
It's if not I gonna... talked to a younger me.
Oh, yeah.
Girl.
Me too. I would have been like, well, who are you? Like,
you need therapy, you know.
Yeah.
Seriously. But yeah, like, this program so far for me has been, I loved my techniques. I had Dr. Williams.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. If anyone listening who's been in undergrad or even high school or in your master's, this teacher came into class, every class, and would say, how is everyone's day? Yeah. Let's check in. Are we feeling okay? Do we need a break? Like, I was like, what do you mean? No one's ever given me the option. There was one day where the whole class was so stressed, and she was like, you know what? First 30 minutes of class, y'all go do whatever. Go take a walk, go get some food, go whatever. We'll start a little late, and we'll talk about, mm-hmm, what's going on. And it was because it was, I think, around maybe midterms or, mm-hmm, finals, and it's just so nice to have such understanding professors here.
Such understanding. But, and it's all, like, it's all meaningful because then she uses that, like, in an internship class one time, I think I remember her saying something like, the energy in here feels off or the energy feels low. And it was, and she was right. And then we were able to, like, instead of talking about whatever, you know, was on the plan or whatever it was, we were able to process that and then use that to really, like, help us as counselors. Like, it all turned into some, like, meaningful discussion, meaningful lesson that was more important at that time than, you know, whatever else was on the agenda. And that's what's really cool about these professors and Dr. Williams is that, like, they really, like the here and now. Yeah. They care a lot, and they're, like, so present with us in class.
Completely grounds you because you can be everywhere in your head. Like, I have all this stuff to do, and it's like, wait a minute. We're supposed to be here. Let's take a breath and do what we need to do to get back into this classroom. And I don't think, like, it's great. All these professors are so different, but so their goals are similar. They care about us. They want us to succeed. But, like, how they teach is different. And I do really appreciate how Dr. Williams just showed how much she cared in that course. And our other professors, too. I'm not like this. But, like, truly, there's a difference there. That
there is. Yeah. Well, like, in undergrad, it's kind of like, you know, you get through your classes, you take them, and you try to get out as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really matter if you, like, don't go to class one day or whatever. Like, you're just trying to get the grade and leave.
Yeah.
But here it's like, you can't do that.
No.
And you don't want
you
to.
You care. Yeah, exactly.
You don't want to. Like, it's an experience. It's 3 years of, like, a personal growth experience, which is so different than any other, I think, any other, like, program. Even if you do the counseling program and you don't end up being a therapist, I still think those 3 years
will change your life.
Will change you.
Yeah, exactly. I 1,000% agree. Even before, I thought I was pretty centered and pretty self-aware, but self-awareness is also a continuous growth and spectrum that,
always.
It's insane.
Lifelong. We had our exit interviews the other day, and we had to kind of talk about, you know, what you'll take with you. And something that stuck out to me that I'm going to, like, always keep in my mind is that I feel like I got a really good foundation from the program. Like, I can be an ethical, skilled counselor. You know, I can do counseling. But I feel like what this program has set me up to do is be, like, a lifelong student to the field.
Yeah.
Lifelong student to my clients. Like, I'm never going to be like, oh, I have this degree, I'm an expert in this. That's not how this works.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to always be learning. I'm always going to be growing in personally and professionally.
Yeah.
To be the best I can be for my clients. Because I don't think it's like you get this degree, you get this piece of paper, and, like, boom, you're there.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, the point is we have continued education credits that we need to keep up with as therapists. And it makes you want to keep learning. Like, these teachers make you want to be the best therapist you can be. And that's important for when you're looking for a therapist to find someone who really has that drive, because I'm sure, I mean, some people probably get numb to the experience of therapy and being a therapist.
Or burnout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's important to recheck in with yourself and to make sure that you still have that drive that you had coming out of grad school.
Yeah, always be able to kind of, like, observe yourself and say, like, am I able to be present today? Am I able to be, you know, here with my clients today? And there have been, like, that's been an experience in my internship. Like, I've had some days where I'm like, ugh, I'm not.
Yeah.
Like, I am not feeling, like, great today. And so I've had to kind of, like, tailor what I do or, like, you know, how I am that day to kind of still give my clients what they need, but also, like, taking care of myself at the same time. So.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to tell your clients that. Like, something that Dr. Austin came on the podcast and talked about is saying, just simply saying, you know, I don't feel really that present today. And kind of, my head's kind of elsewhere. Like, how does that make you feel with that?
I love that.
Yeah, it's, I've never heard something so confrontational, but, like, in a peaceful, aggressive, like, not an aggressive confrontational.
Not,
like,
aggressive.
Very empathetic confrontational way. Just say something so simply.
Like, oh, yeah.
And I'm like, of
course. Why wouldn't I think of that?
Why would I never think
literally
of that?
Thinking it?
No, I know.
Why don't I just say it?
Yeah. It's so weird. Yeah. Anyway. I had the experience when I was doing like it when I was an inpatient, we would do like multiple groups mm-hmm. a day, you know? And in the afternoons, I would just be so like scattered, kind of like I had been there all day. I was tired. And I've had an idea to kind of the other intern and I discussed doing like meditation mm-hmm. for the afternoon group, like just bringing everyone in and just doing like a guided breathing, body scan, something like that. Mm-hmm. But there was like that voice inside of me, like the imposter that's like, well, you have to do something for group. Like you have to teach them or you have to do like some super meaningful, insightful exercise or whatever. And then like it took me a minute to realize like, hold on, you don't have to do anything. Like what do your clients need the most today? And like for a lot of them that yeah. that meditation time, like that time to just relax was really important to them. But it took me a minute to get over myself and say, Hannah, you like you're not a failure as a counselor because you're not sitting here actually like doing something yeah. or like facilitating this like amazing group discussion. Like if they need some meditation in the afternoon, like that's what is that's best what for them at this time. Yeah. yeah. And like I was tired too. Yeah. And so like it just it worked for us. And I was able to say, well, that's the afternoon. Like I'm feeling very scattered this afternoon. I think this would be helpful for all of us. How would you guys feel about doing this? And then they all loved it.
I'm like convinced that counselors suffer from imposter syndrome and perfectionism.
Oh yeah, I think everyone does.
I mean, almost for sure.
Yeah,
because it's hard, especially when you are playing a part in how someone can feel leaving, mm-hmm. like coming in, and they can leave feeling worse after talking to you mm-hmm. or better, and it's like this pressure that you put on yourself that is unmatched. Because, yeah, like, I'd rather go flunk a presentation in front of a business office than, like, have my client leave right. really upset with how session went.
Right, right. Being able to sit with those uncomfortable yeah. feelings. You know, I experienced that a few times, and it's really hard.
Yeah.
And I'm still, like, that's something I still need to... you know, lower learn the pressure. And yeah like if a client gets upset,
it happens.
And I was in a setting, unfortunately, that happens like very often.
Yeah,
very often they get really upset or angry, and there's a lot of different emotions that are going on. And so like being able to still be like a calm mm-hmm. presence and yeah. not let myself get dysregulated was like difficult, but like all still, you know,
great learning experience.
Oh my gosh, amazing learning experience.
That's why it's important to get comfortable with uncomfortable, because we're not comfortable naturally with these strong emotions that way. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, it'd be great if every session was you came in with an issue and you leave and you're like, wow, thank God mm-hmm. that I just had this amazing therapy session mm-hmm. with Hannah today.
Yeah.
And some days it's going to be like, I feel like I'm gonna explode, and I only had an hour in there, and I feel like I need yeah. three more.
And it's not. And what is really cool is that I remember Dr. Williams talking one time about parallel process. It's mm-hmm. like a supervision thing, mm-hmm. and that a lot of times, like what we're experiencing as counselors, it kind of is a parallel process to what our clients are experiencing. And so I had that moment when I was in group one time, and I was talking about this distress tolerance, which is like a DBT thing, mm-hmm. like. Distress tolerance skill with my group. And then I realized I was in that moment, and I had this one group member who was very like intrusive and kept like speaking, and not out of like malintent or whatever. They just were really having a hard time mm-hmm. Controlling the impulses. And I was getting stressed out, and I was like, I need to use my distress tolerance. So like I'm trying to like, you know, use these distress tolerance skills to keep myself grounded and keep myself calm. And then my clients were needing them too, because they were also getting upregulated with
yeah.
people in the group. So I was like, let's all just take some breaths here.
Yeah, because one person can be reflective in the whole group, mm-hmm. and then you're the main reflector.
Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. So I can model yeah. these skills. And then, you know, after like the group member left, I was like, wow, the energy really changed, you know, after this mm-hmm. person left. Like, what was that like? And then it's also yeah, it's just really interesting how all that happens. And yeah. It's an experiential process.
It is.
You're experiencing it just as much as the clients are.
Yeah, it is. That's why it's so important to have yourself in check always, your emotions.
For sure.
What is one of your most or some of your most meaningful experiences in this program?
My most meaningful experiences. Well, okay, I feel like I just kind of shared some of them.
Yes.
With, like, working at the inpatient setting, it's definitely been my practicum and internship.
Mm-hmm.
My practicum was at a children's advocacy center,
mm-hmm.
and it was all my clients were children who experienced some sort of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And my second internship was at inpatient psychiatric hospital. And so completely different kinds of clients. I mean, going from kids who've experienced trauma to adults and geriatric population who are in crisis. Both of those, I mean, learning through experience has been the most meaningful thing for me.
Yeah.
I can, oh my gosh, like there's so many, I can like picture my clients that I had at the Children's Advocacy Center in my head and just seeing their, like their growth, seeing them in the therapy process and like seeing everything that I've learned kind of come to life,
mm-hmm.
was so special.
Hope they're doing well and think back on them.
Yes. But I feel like they are. Like, yeah. I feel like they are. And that's why like I really love working with kids, is because I feel like they're so resilient.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like they're so resilient and they
there's room for growth.
Oh my
they're
God.
They're not like kind of quote unquote stuck in their ways yet,
yeah,
or anything.
They want to grow. They want to, and so just having like someone there to help facilitate that and mm-hmm. be understanding and be kind to them and let them play in the sand and get all their feelings out. Getting to see that firsthand was really cool. There's a lot of like hope in that work. And then I got to work in the inpatient psych where, you know, it's not the same setting. It's not as happy. It's sad.
Yeah.
It's a lot of different emotions and a lot of crisis and people at kind of their worst times. And so it's a lot more muddy than working in like with the children. So that was definitely an experience.
She said muddy, not money.
Oh, yeah, muddy. not money. No. Muddy.
We are not paid during the internship. No, I just want to make this clear.
Yeah, no. Muddy as in like you're wading through muddy waters. Like, oh my goodness. Like you are in the weeds. Yeah. And so, and I say that as like just an observer. Like the clients are the ones that are really just going through really difficult things. And so, I mean, I didn't spend one semester, I feel like was not enough time to like really have a great understanding of like how that all functions. Like I'm still like kind of processing it all, but I am going to be going back there to do some PRN work. So after I graduate. So I'm going to still get that, learn more, get more experience in that. But
that's really important. All of that, the internships and practicum. I'm so excited for my practicum in fall.
Oh my God.
I'll be with
you,
the children as well. So
you are going to love that. You're going to love it.
I'm really, really excited. I know I have diagnosis and career for the summer, my courses.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the last two requirements before going into practicum. So hopefully I'll feel, I don't think you'll ever feel really prepared, but I'll feel more prepared than I
do now. You won't. I still feel like that going into my first job. I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
I have to like remind myself and like kind of lean on my support systems to say, no, you have the tools.
Yeah.
You're okay.
You've been prepared.
You're prepared.
Yeah.
You know what to do. And if something, there inevitably are going to be things that you don't know what to do. And that's okay. That's why you have a supervisor.
Yep.
You have a support system.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Same for you in practicum.
Yep.
You're not going to know what the heck to do. And that's okay. And that's okay.
I will make sure to keep you updated and you keep me updated.
Yes. Absolutely.
What advice would you give to anyone considering getting their master's in counseling?
Ooh, getting their master's in counseling. Okay. So I don't think this is a necessity. You don't have to do this, but I feel like it would be really, really helpful for you to be a client, like to kind of understand a little bit like what counseling is. Maybe have some experience like sitting on the other side of the couch before you are a therapist. I just personally think that that is really meaningful because the program is very, you know, personal, growth centered.
Yeah.
And then the second part of that, I would say, you know, do your research, make sure that this is something that would, you know, fit into what you want to do with your life. But if it is, and you have interest in it, I would say go ahead and just apply and come to the interview days, come and meet the people. And, you know, if you feel like this is something you're being drawn towards, you're being called towards, I would say don't be afraid to kind of just take the leap and do it.
Yeah, I agree. And I especially agree with that first statement of being a client first, because honestly, if you can't empathize with the person that you're counseling, then it could, because if you were in that chair before, you know, mm-hmm. the feelings of being scared to be vulnerable yeah. with this person. Like, it allows you to understand where they are.
Yeah.
And what's taking, like, what's taking sure. so long for them to open up with me. And
well, and too, like, when you talk to someone, or, you know, you move through the different pieces of the program, things are going to come up for you.
Yeah.
And so, like, I feel like it kind of helps you have a little bit of an advantage if you kind of already know, you know, what's coming up, have some idea of why. If you've already done a little bit of that, like, reflection to see what's going on with you. And of course, you can always, once you start, go to the University Counseling Center for free.
Yeah.
And go to counseling there. But I just feel like it's always helpful to go ahead and get that growth process started.
Yeah. Agreed. Mm-hmm. Love that advice. Okay. And lastly, are there any, you know, shout outs or special thanks you want to give to anyone that maybe have supported you through your program that you want to thank?
Yes. Oh my gosh. I feel like a celebrity giving, like, an Oscars speech.
I'm sorry. I left the trophy at home.
So, I mean, we have kind of talked about this, but all of the faculty at the counseling program have just been so just, I mean, important in the process. I mean, it wouldn't be the counseling program without them. You know,
true.
They make it.
Yes.
So truly just an amazing program. And then all of my classmates have been so great, and they're the other piece that kind of, like, make up when I think of the counseling program. I think of my, you know, like, the leaders, the faculty, and then also, like, I think of, like, us.
Yeah.
You know, it's not me, it's us. It's, yeah. like, all of us in my cohort, in my classes. Also, honestly, like, general studies, like, you guys, like, you and Steven, like, the people that were there before, like, Peyton.
Yeah.
It's been really cool that all of us work together.
Yeah.
Like, we can talk about, like, counseling stuff. Yeah. And that's been also, like, a really cool piece to going through the program. And then, of course, like, my supervisors at both of my sites have just been awesome. And Dr. Fazio Griffith, I got to present with her at the play therapy conference.
No way. Did you?
I did. So I got to do, like, a presentation with her, and then she asked me to come speak to her class about play therapy. She has been so, yeah, that was another great experience in itself. So, yeah, shout out to her, because that was really, really cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations, Hannah. I'm so happy for you. It's been really nice having, like, because I came into the office after, obviously, and you have been welcoming from the very beginning.
Aww, thanks.
I have been able to ask all of the questions for
paper. I love
paper.
Answering. Like I said earlier, I love, even though I'm like, what, a semester, like, 2 semesters ahead, mm-hmm. 3-4 semesters ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that much.
4.
In the grand scheme of things. Like, we're both new.
5.
We're like both new counselors, so I like being able to help those that are like a couple semesters behind and like see the growth and all of that. So yeah.
Okay, well, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thanks
today.
Thanks for having me on. Thanks for letting me ramble.
Yes. It was easy.
It's 8:30 in the morning.
I know. Yeah. We gotta get back to work now.
You're wild.
All right. And I will talk to you later. Bye. Today's music was written and produced by Tyler O'Brien. You can find him on Instagram at Dreamscape, DreamScape, and follow his band at Wastelander_band on Instagram.